Well, through the Bible, in terms of love letters, moving up to Obadiah, and a very small prophet, but big in message. Obadiah gives us the message from God about jealousy, envy, and violence toward our brothers. Okay? Any person who means much to us. Brother in terms of being made in the image of God. Brother in terms of being a brother and sister in Christ. And so, to just hit the highlights of Obadiah and make some application. Edom is yelled at for standing by while Judah was getting smashed. Okay, that's the message, Obadiah. Don't rejoice when your brother's getting wiped out. Don't do that. Edom was a descendant of Esau. Judah was a descendant of Jacob. So you have generational, might call it racism, might call it anti-Semitism. Whatever the problem was, it went for a long time. About 3,000 years. Okay, and there's still resentment and hatred from the past. You know, if you've held a grudge against somebody for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, God understands because, I mean, He doesn't cheer you on, but He's seen this before. He's seen this before, and He could bring you away from that. Okay, bring you out of that. Jealousy, envy, and so forth. So, when you think about Jacob and Esau, where it all started, you know, Esau's jealousy was not without cause. They were twin brothers. The first one's born, Esau. Jacob comes out grabbing onto his heel, apparently. Me first, right from the get-go. Okay, all we have to do is head back to the nursery and get them nine-month-olders, you know. One has two toys, one has one toy, and we're going to have Armageddon right in that nursery, right there. Okay, jealousy comes early for the human heart. So the Lord confronts us about that. History, you look at Genesis 20, I think it's, early, you're going to see that rivalry between Jacob and Esau and how it played out. Both were at fault. Jacob lies. Esau is a little selfish. He goes for his own self before the birthright that was supposed to be a gift. Esau holds a grudge. He wants to kill his brother. So, rough story. And jealousy and envy, strong in the human heart, strong in our human personality. Just to take a look, let God, you know, shine that light on there and say, this is going to be a problem on a regular basis for you without Christ. And in the Bible, jealousy and envy, the basic message is this. God blessed you, and He didn't bless me in that same way. Therefore, I don't like you, and I don't like God. Because you have something I want. Jealousy, envy. Okay, it's kind of a me first kind of attitude. Shakespeare said it was a green-eyed monster, hides in the human soul. One Bible teacher said envy and jealousy was a total absence of grace toward another person. Instead of seeing a person as, oh yeah, they are undeserved. It's a blessing they received. We're glad for the grace of God in their life. It's like, They shouldn't be there. They shouldn't have that. They shouldn't do that. It should probably be me. Who else would it be? That would be the sin of jealousy or envy that can reside in us. There's an old story about a Christian following the Lord. You know, he's trusting God. He's willing. Surrendered. He's not willful. Putting himself first. Various temptations come to this Christian. Greed comes. He says, not interested in greed. I'm content with what I have, and I'm thankful. Adultery comes. He says, not interested in adultery. I give and receive love from my dear one, my dear spouse. Laziness comes. Not interested in laziness. Work is a gift from God. And then somebody comes and tells him, you know that guy you work with? You know, the one who really doesn't believe in God, and the one who kind of, he's mean to his wife, and you know, and besides that, he's not a very good worker. You know the one I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, he was just promoted to be your boss, and he got a raise. Pretty soon, the Christian who's walking with the Lord says, that no good so-and-so. And that no good so-and-so boss who did that. Okay? That's how quickly that we being filled with God can be filled with self and move into that sin of envy, not loving our neighbor. Envy is really a breaking of the second commandment. I don't love that person as I love myself. So when I see God's blessing on them, I can't bring myself to rejoice with them. I get mad. It's a good test of love. But many examples in the Bible of envy. I'm going to envy the clock here in a minute. They're rapidly running out of my opportunity. Bible pictures of envy. This is a living example right here. Bible pictures of envy. Cain envies Abel and he kills him. Abel was able to receive the gift of grace. Cain apparently wanted to work for it in some manner. So Cain didn't like Abel's grace. So he whacks him. People envy God. They build the Tower of Babel. They say, let's make a name for ourselves. Sarah envies Hagar. Hagar was blessed first. Now, Sarah was going to be blessed, but she would have to wait. And she really hated that Hagar got the blessing of first. Plays itself out, you know, nowadays. Why does the quarterback always throw the ball to Mrs. Hagar's son and never to my son? Said Mrs. Sarah. There. The brothers envy Joseph. Joseph kind of had it coming, you know. He said, you guys are going to follow me, and I got the nice coat. And they said, well, you're going to be, we'll take care of you. And God brings good somehow out of that. Saul envies David. Saul was king. People thank the Lord for him. David was very blessed in his abilities. And Saul said, I don't like it that he was blessed, you know, with more results than me. Some more examples. Apostles envy one another. Who's best? Judas envies the perfume lady. Mary, brother of Lazarus, as she anoints Jesus, he says, "This, let me show you a better way. Give me that perfume. I'll take care of it." You know. Peter envies John. He keeps saying, what's going to happen to John? What's going to happen to John? He took that sideward glance. Somebody said, envy is a sideward glance instead of looking ahead, thanking God. We say, what about him? And Jesus says, what's that to you? Okay. And a simple definition of worldliness, which I know different things might come to your mind. Worldly, you think he's worldly. What does that mean? Does he dress, you know, flamboyantly? Does he dance, you know? The hokey pokey. What's the worldliness? Here worldliness is defined as jealousy. Since there's jealousy among you, are you not worldly? Okay, that's something that pushes God out of the way. That jealousy and envy is listed in big list of sins. Jesus said, "This is the human heart away from God: murder, adultery, envy." Paul said, "This is humanity away from God." Envy, murder, strife. Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit's really good. This is the work of the sinful nature, witchcraft, jealousy, envy. Susceptible in our souls. I know growing up, had an older brother, wonderful. Younger brother, wonderful. Had a tendency to envy the older brother. I don't know why. Probably because he was better than everything at me. than me. But he's a fantastic guy. I love him. And he just loved us back so much. Interesting how when I saw my younger brother, I thought, wait, I want him to just be blessed in every manner. If that helps you in your thought toward another person, you know, you see him as, oh, they're younger, they're broken, they need just God's wind at their back. It's a good thing. And then in closing, some practical helps for us. Christ in you does not envy. Remember, Christ lives within us. So we have that second nature now. God's Spirit. I used to envy. Okay, envy at work. Envy in the neighborhood. I took care of my weeds. He didn't take care of his weeds. Come on. envy at church, you know. That rascal knows more Bible than me, that bum, you know. The envy thing. Christ does not envy. Isn't that great? For one thing, because he has nobody to envy. because he is the best at everything. So we praise his name, sets us free from the sideward glance. Paul even said, I'm so blessed with salvation, I would rather see my friends who don't know the Lord meet Christ and me, even if I have to go to hell myself than see these dear people go to hell. That's a lot of love expressed at the cross by Jesus. He did that. Paul wouldn't have to do that because the wrath of God came on Christ. And Jesus said, I'd rather face God's wrath than spend eternity without the dear people, all the people I created. Love does not envy. Great test. When you envy somebody, pretty much means you don't love them at that point. But love rejoices with the other person in the blessing and success of others because it gives God credit for knowing what he's doing in the passing out of gifts. You think of Esau's life, it could have been a whole different story. He knew maybe, I thought everything was set up for me to get blessed by God in a strong way. Jacob gets blessed more. Esau still got blessed. Jacob gets blessed more. And he could have said, Jacob, my younger brother, I am so happy for you. I'm just, I'm as happy as if this happened to me. In fact, I am more happy, Jacob, that you got the blessing. Certainly that could have been the story of his life. And with Christ living inside you and I, we could put that into practice. He's my brother or sister. We could make John the Baptist's attitude. Let them increase, I'll decrease. In any setting where we see the blessing of God. Don't you want the other guy blessed? Maybe a little more than you? I think the Lord, teaches us about grace like that. And sometimes, just to give you a practical example, I was telling this to a Sunday school teacher. I said, when you're kind of resentful and you don't want to praise somebody through jealousy or you're just mad at them or something, your feelings just aren't there, your heart's not there, but just let your feet lead your heart sometimes. Go right up to the person and say, Obadiah, I am so glad that you got that promotion and I didn't. I'm going to be praying for you to do well. And you might say, well, that's a hypocrite, No, you want to do what's right. So do it, and maybe your heart will follow. If you wait till everything's fine in your soul, you'll be waiting until you're 99 on your deathbed, and I should have made peace with Obadiah. I was telling it to the Sunday school teacher. He said, now I know why you've been coming up to me and saying, well, you're doing a good job. Thank you very much. You really hate me inside, don't you? No. It was just an illustration. But to say, well, Christ in us doesn't envy. Love doesn't envy. You go rejoice with other people. The joy in your life, because you have a ton of blessings, will be multiplied massively so. Because now you're happy. Everybody is getting loved by God. And we're thankful for that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for confronting Edom, Esau, and Jacob and Judah. They weren't perfect by any means or even close to it. But you send your blessings as we're ready to rejoice. And sometimes it's better just to be happy for others instead of thinking, well, where's my big piece of the pie? But this is not right. This is teach us to be unselfish, looking out for the other, to praise your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Work this work in us.